Hi everyone, and welcome to English for You. I'm Pat.
I'm Tiffany.
So today's story is about some kids whose parents have sadly died, and they're going to be looked after by another relative. So who used to look after you when you were a kid and your parents were on vacation, busy, something like that?
Actually, my grandma. A lot of people didn't know this, but I did spend 2 years in Taiwan when I was like really
young. Little baby before you went over to the States.
So I was born in the States, then I was brought over to Taiwan for about 2 years, a year to 2 years, and my grandma and grandpa looked after me.
Okay, there you go. It was pretty much the same for us. We would be looked after by one or other set of grandparents, mostly my dad's parents, because when I was about nine, I think, they moved just down the street from us.
Oh, okay.
So it was very easy for us to go over there and be looked after. But sometimes they would drive down and leave us with my mum's mum. Because she lived not far away from Heathrow Airport. So it was kind of on the way if they were going on a vacation. So, yeah, mostly grandparents, although my uncle had a farm.
Oh, that's fun.
And we would sometimes go and stay on that, which was, you know, there was lots and lots of cows and other animals. It was a milk farm, so
it must have been a lot of fun for the kids, for you guys anyway.
Yeah, growing up on a farm, different kind of experience. And we only went there for a few days, but my cousins who grew up there, they definitely had a good time.
Yeah,
now,
we've
got good stories. The children in our story have kind of bad stories. Let's read through day one of our article, The Bad Beginning, and find out what happens.
Reading. The Bad Beginning. The story begins with the Baudelaire children, Violet, Klaus, and baby Sunny, receiving some awful news. Mr. Poe, a family friend, tells them their parents have died in a fire. Mr. Poe will look after the family fortune until Violet turns 18. Until then, the children must stay with their distant relative, Count Olaf. The Baudelaires don't know Count Olaf, and they don't like the look of him either. He's tall, thin, and smelly. They learn that Count Olaf works as a theater actor in the city, and also manages his own theater group. However, they have no choice but to move into his house. It's old, dirty, and full of odd images of eyes. Olaf also has a tower that the children are forbidden from entering. Count Olaf turns out to be a bad egg. He gets angry easily and pressures the children to do all sorts of unpleasant chores. The only good thing about living with him is that he has a friendly neighbor, Justice Strauss.
So the story begins with the Baudelaire children. That's Violet, Klaus, and baby Sunny receiving some awful news. So they're these three kids, quite young, one of them is a complete baby, Sunny is, and they get some terrible, awful news.
Yeah, let's see what it is. It says, Mr. Poe, a family friend, tells them their parents have died in a fire. That is terrible, terrible news.
That's really,
I can't imagine
really sad.
Losing my parents, you know, all of a sudden like that.
Yeah, so Mr. Poe, we know he's a family friend, maybe their parents' friend, and he also seems to have some kind of job involving the law or money or something, because the article says Mr. Poe will look after the family fortune until Violet turns 18 or becomes 18. She is 18 years old. So there we saw the phrasal verb look after. To look after something means to take care of something or someone and make sure nothing bad happens. Here, Mr. Poe is looking after money, so he just needs to make sure the money isn't spent or that it's being saved in a safe place, doesn't just disappear. Mm-hmm. And we know it's money because we're talking about fortune.
That's right. Fortune is our vocabulary word, and it's spelled F-O-R-T-U-N-E. Fortune, it is a noun and it means a large amount of money. So for example, if you go buy a lottery ticket and you win, that means you win a fortune. You win a lot of money. So we see here in the article that these children, they have a family fortune. So basically, it's the amount of money their family has, and usually it's going to be passed on from one generation to another one. Okay? For example, we can use it in a sentence like this. The man made a fortune by creating the first flying car.
Okay, so the kids have got some money, which is something. They're not going to be like poor orphans living on the street. But they can't get that money until Violet, the oldest one, is 18. Mm-hmm. Legal reasons for that. So the article says, until then, until she's 18, the children must stay with their distant relative, Count Olaf. A relative is a noun. It's spelled R-E-L-A-T-I-V-E, relative. And a relative is someone who is in your family, connected either by blood or by marriage. The connection doesn't have to be a strong one. It could be like your aunt's cousin's wife or something like that, a long way away. They're all relatives. A distant relative means it's one a long way away, not like a brother, sister, mother, aunt, so on.
Yeah.
Here's an example. Michael's relatives all sent him cards or gifts on his birthday.
Oh, that's so nice of him.
Yeah, we also saw... Olaf is a count.
Oh, yes.
Okay, now you guys might not know what a count is. It's someone who owns land and is a noble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's got some kind of title. He owns an area. Now, in the UK, we don't actually have any counts. We have earls. It's the same thing. Counts are found in Europe, in France, Italy, Germany.
It sounds like an evil sounding
count
name, too.
Count Olaf. Yeah, that's obviously a bad guy, right?
Like Count Dracula was kind of like a scary guy. So Count Olaf to me doesn't sound like a very friendly person.
Yeah, he's not a friendly, happy uncle.
He sounds like bad news.
Right.
Okay, let's see. It says the Baudelaires don't know Count Olaf and they don't like the look of him either. All right. So when they first met him, when they saw him, they're like, they don't really like the look of him. So when you don't like the look of something or somebody, this phrase just means that you don't like this person or thing because from your first impression, it doesn't make you feel very comfortable. So yeah, why don't the children like Count Olaf? What does he look like?
Well, our description in the article says he's tall, thin, and smelly.
Ew.
Yeah, smelly means he doesn't smell very good, okay? Another example could be, I don't want to have to empty the smelly garbage can.
Yuck.
So he's kind of this tall, thin, smelly old guy.
No wonder they don't like the look of him.
Exactly.
I wouldn't like him either. Based on his name, too, it sounds very evil. All right, so let's continue reading this story. It says, they learn that Count Olaf works as a theater actor in the city and also manages his own theater group, okay? So he sounds like a pretty, I would say, normal person. He acts in the play. He acts in plays. And
actors aren't normal. Take it from me.
He sounds normal, but we can later learn that his personality is not so good as well. All right, so first let's take a look at another vocabulary word. We see the word manage. It's spelled M-A-N-A-G-E. Manage. Now, this is a verb that means you kind of look over something, you control something like maybe a business, maybe we call it a department in a company, or maybe even like a sports team.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of look after the people, you're like the leader, and you make sure that people work together and get their job done. So for example, we can say, Jim manages everyone in the company.
Okay, so the kids don't like the look of him. However, as the article says, however, they have no choice but to move into his house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a slightly unusual phrase, have no choice but to, and then followed by a verb. And we use this phrase in a situation where someone only has one choice. They can't do anything else. Here's an example. Since I missed the last MRT home, I have no choice but to get a taxi. That's the only thing I can do unless I'm going to walk home, basically.
Right, or ride a bike.
Yeah, or sit there and wait until the MRT opens. So it's kind of saying there's only one thing they can do, and the kids, their one thing is go with Count Olaf.
Right, and remember, they're all young children, so they have to be with an adult. So this is probably the law that they have to follow. All right, let's continue reading this story. It says, his house, okay, we're describing the house here. It's old, dirty, and full of odd images of eyes. Okay, so his house is quite strange. It's not something that they're very used to. Because I'm pretty sure they had a very loving and warm house, and all of a sudden they have to live with this weird relative that they've probably never even met. He had a lot of odd images of eyes. Okay, let's take a look at another vocabulary word, the word odd. O-D-D, odd. It's an adjective and it just means something that is strange, weird. It's really unusual. Okay, so we can say there was something odd about his story. His story doesn't make sense. It was very strange. Or we can even say, that's odd. He was here a minute ago. Where did he go? Okay, we can even use it in another example sentence like this. There is something odd about that house. Many people think there are ghosts. I'm not going there. All right, so let's learn more about his house. I think the images of these eyes are really, really strange.
Yeah, it means kind of these pictures on all the walls and stuff. We also see that Olaf also has a tower that the children are forbidden from entering. Okay, let's take a look at that word tower. It's a noun and it's spelled T-O-W-E-R, tower. And a tower is a very tall building, but one that usually doesn't have a lot of rooms on each floor. It's not wide, it's kind of tall and straight. Now, some towers, such as Taipei 101, they are both, it's very big and it's very tall, but it's always taller than it is wide. Now, in the old days, they were the tallest parts of castles, sometimes the only bit of the castle, and they were also the strongest part of the castle. So if the walls weren't going to, if they fell down, everyone would run inside the tower and stay there, and that's where all the rooms and stuff were. Here's an example of how we can use the word tower. The wizard lived in a high tower in the middle of the forest. So Count Olaf has this strange tower, and he forbids the children to go inside it. What does that mean?
All right, forbid is to mean that you're not allowed to do something or to go somewhere. Okay, so for example, maybe this restaurant, you're forbidden from smoking in this restaurant. It means you're not allowed to do it. Oftentimes, smoking is forbidden on the plane, okay? Or if you've read Harry Potter, I remember in one story, Dumbledore told the students that it is forbidden to enter the third floor. So it's the same thing. They couldn't go to this place.
That's right. Now, forbid, the past tense is can be forbade, I think, forbid. But I've also seen it forbade, so it's got a few forms. And then forbidden is the PP.
That's
and
right.
We often use forbidden as an adjective. Something is forbidden means you can't do that. So you can forbid someone, or we can also just say something is forbidden. Okay, now the article goes on and it says Count Olaf turns out to be a bad egg. Got some fun phrases here. The first one's a bit easier, turn out. We use the phrasal verb turn out to show how something ends or to say how something really is, even though we thought it might be different at first. Now, in this case, it's not much of a surprise that Count Olaf is not that nice because he looks nasty. And it turns out, as we'll see, that he is nasty. Here's another example for turn out. I thought the exam would be easy, but it turned out to be really difficult.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was harder than I had expected.
All right, so it says that it turns out Count Olaf was a bad egg. What does that mean? Does it mean he smells or...
He's round? He came from a chicken?
He's not a round egg?
I don't know.
Well, maybe we can find out by taking a look at our shortcut for you. So let's take a quick break.
shortcut for you.
Welcome to Blarney's. Can I get you a drink?
Sure. I'll just have one.
I haven't seen you around here before. Are you from here?
Nope. Just passing through.
What's your name?
You don't want to know that.
Why not?
Because I'm a bad egg. That's why.
A bad egg? You don't smell funny to me.
A bad egg is someone who does bad things.
I get it. A bad egg is 坏人坏蛋.
That's right. I'm a bad egg. I just cause trouble wherever I go.
I'm a bad egg too. Sometimes I don't do dishes right away, and sometimes I sleep in late.
That's cute, but bad eggs like me are much worse. I've broken lots of laws and gotten into plenty of bar fights.
Wow, that sounds like fun!
Fun? Maybe you can be a bad egg after all.
Oh, okay, I know now. A bad egg just means that this person is not really a nice person. This person is probably really dishonest. We can't really count on this person anymore.
Yeah, it's like an egg that's gone bad. So a bad egg is just a bad person, basically.
Stinky.
And we find out why in the next sentence. It says, he gets angry easily and pressures the children to do all sorts of unpleasant chores.
Wow.
Now, we're used to seeing pressure as a noun, like I'm under a lot of pressure at work, I'm getting a lot of pressure from school. Here, we're using pressure as a verb. It's spelt exactly the same way, P-R-E-S-S-U-R-E, pressure, past tense, pressured, P-P, pressured, so it's a regular verb. Now, as a verb, we often see it to be used to kind of make someone to do something, persuade them to do something with threats or making them feel guilty or some other nasty tactic. You're kind of forcing someone to do something in a several different bad ways.
Yeah, because the other person doesn't really want to do it as well.
Yeah, so it's kind of like saying you're forcing them or you're making them. But you could pressure somebody to do something by saying, like, if you don't, something bad will happen. Here's an example of that. My boss pressured me into working late every day this week.
Oh, man.
So maybe he said, you know, you better stay late, or maybe we'll have to find another person to do your job, or he's like, you seem to be leaving pretty early sometimes. Like, oh no, I have to stay late now. So he's using different ways to pressure me to doing what he wants.
Okay, so the children, what do they not want to do? Of course, they don't want to do a lot of chores. And we learn that in the story, they do a lot of really strange
unpleasant chores.
Now, what is a chore? I'm pretty sure many of you do this. It's basically a small job that you do on a regular basis. So, for example, at home, your parents might tell you to take out the trash or to wash the dishes, to help fold the laundry or something. Those are called your chores. You do this small job and you do it quite often, maybe once a week,
two or three times a week. Yeah.
So those are called your chores. Now, the ones you do at home are called house chores.
That's right. Now, the kids are pretty unhappy, and the article says the only good thing about living with him, Count Olaf, is that he has a friendly neighbor, Justice Strauss. Now, justice normally means things being fair and following the laws, but when we call a person a justice, we mean they are a judge, and often a very important judge, one of the top judges. Here's an example of how we could use that in a sentence. Justice Silver agreed with the jury's decision and sent the man to jail for 10 years.
Wow.
So basically, they live next to an important judge.
So maybe this person can help them.
You'd hope so, but we'll have to find that out on another day. We've got two more days of this story to come, but now it's time for our For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
So the kids were doing unpleasant chores, which brings us to the question, which chores do you hate the most and why?
Okay, I always have hated taking out the trash.
Okay.
And the reason is very simple. It's very smelly. And for me, I think it's usually quite heavy. So I usually have to go 2 or 3 times to bring all the trash down. Yeah, I didn't really like it.
Spill bits of it on you.
Ew.
Oh, horrible.
What about you?
The one I don't like the most, actually, is cleaning kitchens. Now, my reason for this is because I don't eat meat, I kind of, if there's any little bits of, like, meaty stuff or fishy stuff, any of that left in the sink, and I have to clean that, it just, I really dislike it. Bathrooms, I'm fine with, for some reason, but fridges, I don't like either.
Oh, yeah,
because
fridges
are... food can go a bit bad in there, so anything that involves cleaning out like food that's gone a bit bad or old, or if, especially if it's meat, those are the ones I hate the most. Other chores, yeah, fine, no problem.
For me, I'm kind of like a, we can say, not really OCD, but I do like things very clean and neat, so I don't mind cleaning sometimes, but I don't suppose
you'd like to clean a house that I have to, live in.
Well, maybe I think it depends, but I do like my house to be really neat and
very
clean. So
okay.
I don't mind cleaning, but I don't really like taking out the trash because it just
smells. How about you guys? What do you hate? Have a chat about it and join us again tomorrow for part 2 of The Bad Beginning. See you then. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Bad Beginning. The story begins with the Baudelaire children, Violet, Klaus, and baby Sunny, receiving some awful news. Mr. Poe, a family friend, tells them their parents have died in a fire. Mr. Poe will look after the family fortune until Violet turns 18. Until then, the children must stay with their distant relative, Count Olaf. The Baudelaires don't know Count Olaf, and they don't like the look of him either. He's tall, thin, and smelly. They learn that Count Olaf works as a theater actor in the city, and also manages his own theater group. However, they have no choice but to move into his house. It's old, dirty, and full of odd images of eyes. Olaf also has a tower that the children are forbidden from entering. Count Olaf turns out to be a bad egg. He gets angry easily and pressures the children to do all sorts of unpleasant chores. The only good thing about living with him is that he has a friendly neighbor, Justice Strauss.
Vocabulary Review.
Fortune. Moses received the family fortune after his parents passed away. Relative. All my close relatives came together for my grandfather's birthday. Manage. We need someone who's good at managing people, or our project will fall apart. Odd. Patrick's phone is making odd sounds, and he can't seem to turn it off. Tower. One of the most famous buildings in London is the clock tower called Big Ben. Pressure. Parents often pressure their children to succeed in school.